Welcome to Jim Galliano's Building a Better Web Presence podcast. Build something better with less moving parts, less overhead, and less headaches.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Jim Galliano. It has been a long time since I've recorded an update. Those of you who have followed this podcast over the years, over the past 7 years or so, know that in October of 2023, I made a big announcement that I was putting my podcast on the shelf. Going from a weekly podcast to the shelf was a big leap for me, but at the time, I had several opportunities in front of me that would generate probably double the amount of income than I had made in the previous year, and I wanted to make sure I was 100% present working with those companies, working on those large projects, and wasn't in a place where I was spreading myself too thin. So it wasn't easy to do, to put, you know, your pet project, something that you enjoy doing. I've always enjoyed podcasting. I know there's people that enjoy listening to this podcast, but I had to make a business decision. And sometimes you have to sacrifice certain things so that you can free up time to do your best and to focus completely on something else. Now, that focus may be for a limited amount of time, a long period of time, somewhere in between. And to be honest with you, I really didn't know how long that would be. Now, here we are. I think the last official episode I made was, let's see, October 10th of 2023. And now here we are, the 28th. So a year and 10 days later. And then at the end of the year in December, I made another episode, basically reiterating what I had said back in December, letting everybody know that I'm here, I'm thinking about you, I'm not going to forget you. Please don't forget about me, and I will catch up with you eventually down the road. And now here we are down the road. What happened over the past year? Well, I can easily say, and I haven't done my taxes yet, but if I haven't doubled my income in the last year. Now keep in mind, I've been an agency owner since, let's see, 1998, which would be like 26 years. And so, you know, being already established gives you somewhat of a security safety net blanket type of feeling. But to be honest with you, that feeling had departed from, at least from how I was looking at the business situation over the past several years, at least since 2017. Back in 2017, I noticed, I just felt that change was in the air. I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. We were ripe for a new technology, another game-changing type of technology to take over. Social media had been basically stagnating for several years. People weren't participating. Attitudes had degraded somewhat. And so everything was changing. People were ready for something new. And then unfortunately, some of the new that we got wasn't very positive. And then AI came into the situation. And so I decided that I was going to focus, when some new opportunities came my way, on these new things so that it wouldn't be spread too thin. So over the past year, I focused 100% on working with certain larger clients, building an AI agency, although I didn't set out to do that. And let me just dial it back a little bit just to go over some of the initial steps. So today I'm going to share with you my experience over the past year. I'm going to give you some information that can hopefully generate some thought on your end as to what you may consider doing moving forward, how you may look at opportunities perhaps a little bit differently than you have in the past, possibly look for some new ones and to improve whatever it is that you're doing. But in November of 2022, I started doing marketing work for some larger companies. And this provided me the canvas, if you will, which I take everything that I had learned since starting my business in 1998 and put it to work. Money wasn't an object for these companies. And the result was that at the highest point, I was able to deliver a 1,000% increase. And so that journey started in November of 2022. And by December of that year, I'd invested myself. I decided to take that leap and learn everything that I could about AI. So I started without AI in November of 2022. 4 weeks later, AI had was trickling in, I guess you could say. And I just decided right at that point. Now, when I say I made a decision, do you know how you deliberate over certain decisions and then you try to invest yourself, but you can't really invest yourself as easily as you thought? You thought it was going to be easy, but it wasn't. This wasn't anything like that. A lot of decisions that I've made in the past were like that. It was agonizing getting to the point where I committed to something, only to find out that I hadn't all of the facts weren't present in front of me that I thought were there. You know, just to not to turn this into a word salad, but sometimes in life, you think you're making a smart decision and you think you have all the facts that are pertinent to making that decision at your disposal. And then suddenly, as you move forward taking action, you realize that certain important facts were missing. And so you put on the brakes, sometimes sharply, and then you reevaluate. Maybe you've been at a point like that in the past where you thought you were going to take your business in one direction. Something happened, and then you had to backtrack. You had to go back to the planning stages again. And the next thing you know, half the year's gone, and you haven't made any progress at all. I know some of you have been there. I've talked to some of you. I've been there myself. Don't feel bad about it. It's just part of life. This wasn't like that. What I did is I made a snap decision. My heart and my head were 100% aligned, which is not something that happens each and every time. And I wanted to know how AI could be used to create marketing campaigns that could be managed by a minimal number of people, how AI could be used to do A to Z, from helping me formulate the strategies to looking at contingency plans to actually rolling it out, the whole thing from A to Z. So instead of building a large team, I was able to construct a lean, profit-generating agency made up of 4 people. Now, okay, let me not go down that road just yet. I have all these thoughts. I'm just gushing to share these with you. Let me stay on the current track that I am a little bit longer. So 4 people. So I have a website developer who's worked with me for years. A new plugin developer came on board. There was myself and there was a content creator. And then AI inserted working with the 4 of us. So for the next 12 months, as I entered into 2023, I invested on average 8 hours a day. Now, some days I woke up, got online, and started working with AI until the sun went down, taking a 15-minute break to have something to eat. And I mean, I was living, breathing, eating AI. So I wanted to know how to get the most out of it. I didn't want to rely on other people, and like everything else, you know, sometimes you get a little bit lazy and people began to advertise that they've written all of these various prompts to help you get going. That's fine, but after a while, you want to learn how to do your own thing. So, and then from there, I began to take what I learned and implement it and understand my clients' product offerings inside out. And so I began to treat like these big companies as though they were my own. I wanted to learn everything about them. I wanted to learn how they sold. I wanted to learn their back-end operations. I wanted to learn their products inside out. I invested myself in learning those things as though I was going to buy their companies. And it was just something that it wasn't, how can I put this? I wasn't doing it because I would feel guilty if I didn't do it. I was doing it because I wanted to be able to create the most effective marketing campaign humanly possible, given my experience, given the AI, given my team, that could be done. One of the best possible marketing campaigns of a lifetime. And that was my goal. And so that desire fueled the 8 hours a day. That desire fueled the living, breathing, and eating, the understanding of everything my clients were doing, understanding their companies, understanding the personalities that were there selling the product and services. And so by the end of 2023, you know, I had decided, and this is, I was making, by the way, a weekly podcast to doing all this. I decided this is 2023, right? So I decided to put this podcast on hold and then give it everything I had because the podcast was a little distracting to me, trying to do all the above that I was just talking about, especially with the AI. So no distractions, no excuses. I dived in, I did the work as though my life depended on it. Fast forward to today, I'm recording this in late October of 2024. Now, let me talk to you a few minutes about the human side of this business, digital marketing. Everything turned out the way I wanted to. It turned out better. I had hit a home run. I had made the money. I've done all these things. And now I sit back and realize that I'm, you know, of course, continuing with the clients, with these larger companies. Let me just put that to one side and talk about the human side of this business. Now, like many of you, I know what it's like to be lazy and to lay around watching videos and wasting time. And sure, there can be a time for that. But, you know, then there's everything else. You wonder sometimes if you ever do a little bit of soul searching, if you're spending enough time with family and friends. Maybe something happens, a family member dies, a friend moves away, things are changing, and then you suddenly stop. You get out of this stream of busyness, and you come on shore long enough to recognize that the world is changing. And certain things that maybe you took a little bit for granted, I think all of us, even if we purpose not to take things for granted, we all take things a little bit for granted until they're gone. A simple one here is electricity in South Florida. When a hurricane comes through here, oftentimes we're without electricity for several days. And sometimes even without water, things that you take for granted. Okay? Now, today, it's even more so because you see all of the garbage, all of the crap that's happening around the world, around us, and you find yourself reevaluating what's important and what isn't. People want to build a career. They want to make money. They want to take care of their families. But life has to be more than just paying the bills. And even on the other side, when you if you have enough money, if your house is paid for, your cars are paid for, or whatever, you know, you can only go out and eat so many times. You can only watch so many movies. You can only do so much. And then, and I'm not trying to talk like somebody who isn't grateful for all of those things. I'm just talking about the human side of life. After you've been working for so many years, after you've been trying to build something for so long, wherever you are in the picture, sometimes you step out of that business, you look around you, and you find yourself reevaluating what's important and what isn't. And like you and so many others, I came to the conclusion that nothing has really been the same since 2020. And we can make an argument that, for those of you who are a little bit older, nothing has really been the same since like 2001. A lot changed in 2001. 2000 was the beginning of a new era, so to speak. Again, for those of you who are a little older, not having to write 1900 and whatever on a check or things like that. You wrote it your entire life. Now coming into the 20s, it was totally different. Again, for those of you who are around that remember that. But it was, we looked at it with all the possibilities in the world were possible. And then, of course, there was the issue with September 11th, and the world kind of changed then for people living here in the U.S., and worldwide in 2020, I would have to say that since then, again, we can look at that as a crossroads of sorts where we went down a different way than we thought we were going. But by 2020, everything had changed. Now we're on the other side of it. And we can honestly say social media is no longer the same. In fact, back in 2017, I talked quite a bit on this podcast about how change was in the air. Many people were sensing it at the time. It was just difficult to pinpoint how things would play out. Well, as it is, things have played out, of course. We've all lived through it. And over the past several years, we experienced the world shutting down. We've experienced the advent of AI. We've also experienced loss of jobs, inflation, war, and the threat of more war. The post-COVID world is different, isn't it? It even feels different. What I mean by that is the things that have changed that we can't quite identify or we can't quite match words to accurately, it's just the feeling that it's different. I believe that many, if not most people, will look back on the early 2020s and realize that they were experiencing, whether they realized it or not at the time, a new beginning of sorts. And we're navigating a different terrain today than we were back then. A lot of people have passed on too since 2020. My friends, family members that are no longer with me, maybe you've had the same thing happen. And change is the challenge that we're all facing to one degree or another today. So for the past 12 months, all I did was I kept my head down and I focused exclusively on marketing my clients' companies and different clients' companies, especially the bigger ones that required a lot more thought, that were more complex. And I sort of lost myself in that work. And it was a great feeling because basically I thought, all I have to do is concentrate on these few things. I don't want to think about the future. I don't even really want to think about the present that much. I just want to do the work. I want to get paid. Then I want to go to sleep. And tomorrow I want to get up and I want to do that again. And so, and that's what I did. And I felt like some days it felt like all I was doing was working and sleeping. And that there were maybe like a few little 15-minute segments thrown in there where I would eat. But here's something else I discovered over the past year. When it comes to building and running a digital agency of any kind, almost no one comes into this prepared for what's ahead of them. You learn as you go. And I had studied the agencies that came before mine, the ones that were around in the 80s, the ones that were around in the 70s. And I saw the type of lifespans they had, and I saw the little transformations and iterations that they had gone through. And I talked to a lot of the old timers. And so I saw this business from beginning to end when I started it. But I always started it with something else in mind, as not necessarily an exit plan, but something that I could do that would generate additional income without having to deal with the exact same pressures that I dealt with a digital agency kind of business. So you can just say agency. You don't have to say digital, I guess. But you learn as you go and you become the person you need to be to deal with the stress that comes with running this kind of business, because there's so many elements that are outside of your control. And so I noticed that a lot of people got out of this business, no longer did it, and instead taught others how to do it. And so, you know, it was just one of those things. Your sports is a great example of this. Maybe you're in a sport for 4 or 5 years and then you become a coach, or maybe you stay in it for 10 or 20 years. And, you know, there's very few people that do that, that have a record that goes that far back. I don't knock the people that teach instead of doing it themselves, but I always felt that I can't tell people about this kind of business unless I'm in it myself. And this kind of business right now, today, if you haven't been doing this kind of business post-2020, then you really are, I don't want to say what you're teaching is obsolete, because sales and marketing, there's always things that are universal and evergreen. But to really get an understanding of what the digital agency owner of today is going through, I think you have to do more than talk to agency owners or freelancers or content creators. You have to be one yourself. You have to be living in it. Because what's changed is the people. People are not like they were in the past. And I'm going to dig into that just a little bit more so you understand where I'm coming from. But you either become the person you need to be able to deal with challenging personalities, or you hit the eject button and you get out. So it's not so much the craft itself of doing marketing that is the whole challenge. It's all of the other stuff around it. As a business owner, you have to navigate all sorts of personality types. Sometimes you have to navigate the politics within an organization that's hired you or that you're doing work for, whether you have a team or whether you're solo. The digital business world is very much like all of the other segments of the business world today. You toughen up or you don't go very far. You know, when you're down, if you've been kicked a few times, if you're staring up at the lights, you know, because life has hit you pretty hard, in the back of your mind, you often want to quit. You entertain what it would be like to quit, but then you weigh how much you will lose if you don't get back up and get back in the fight again. And so out of necessity, a lot of times, you get up and you get back again and you learn. And so that's why I say you toughen up or you don't go very far. Now, there was a time in the past, I don't think it's here anymore, this area, let's just call it the middle ground, where you could go to a point and then you could stop and just maintain what you had. And you could be in the middle ground playing it safe. I've known people that have done it for years. Not take any risks. Not try to grow. Not try to shrink. Just kind of be in this place. And today it's so different in 2024, going into 2025. If you're in the middle ground, you've lost a lot because inflation has eaten away a percentage of your income's buying power. And so if you're not taking any risks, more often than not, you're in the middle ground, you're at the point where you're barely making a living. And I know a lot of people stay that way because they have a spouse who's also working, and when you combine those two incomes together, what they're able to, things are doable. But when you factor other expenses in, it's only doable for a certain amount of time. In other words, the inflation, the buying power has not only hurt your business, but it's hurt your spouse's business, which means collectively you have less buying power now than you have in the past, which means you have to grow. And some people aren't equipped to grow because growing means that if you want to work for a company that's generating $5 to $10 million a year, then there's going to be some skilled people that are also going to be going after that same type of work. And there's only so much of that work to go around. And so you have to have the desire, you have to have the belief, you have to have that type of attitude that will cause people to want to work with you. Now, I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm not even talking about marketing versus like personal branding and all that stuff. I'm talking about that stuff deep down inside where you will treat somebody's business like your own, where you're excited at the prospect of helping them. And oftentimes, if people have been doing this too long, it takes them a little bit more to get back to that point where they can say that again. Because if you don't do 100%, if you don't give it your all, and there's very few people that really do give 100% and sustain it for a prolonged period of time. I mean, you're human. Some days you're going to go out there just like a sports team and you'll be at 80% or 75%. Sometimes you have a bad game. You know, sometimes actors are in a bad movie that bombs at the box office. But you can't stay in that place anymore. Not for long. Somebody else will come along and be able to do the job better. And then you've lost that income. And that income will have to be replaced somehow. So I'm just saying that if you're in the middle ground playing it safe, not taking any risks, more often than not, you're going to be barely making a living right now. And hey, you know what? You feel bad recognizing if that's you. But feeling bad is the first step in making a change in your life, a change that's going to matter, a change that's going to impact you for the better, you for your family, right? Every person that was a drunk and eventually went to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and turned their life around, they got to a low point, right? Anybody that was addicted to something, anybody that wasn't going far in life, or maybe the kid that was just playing video games their whole life and decided that they weren't happy doing that anymore. Everybody has a moment. Sometimes you have several of those in your life where you say, you know what? Why should we just sit here doing the same thing when everything is going the way it's going? Let's get up and let's do something new. Let's go after something better for ourselves. So one of the things that's changed, again, over the past several years in the business world is the amount of pressure the average person seems to be dealing with on a daily basis. People ask, you know, hey, is it difficult running a digital agency in 2024 or going into the new year? And let me tell you this. Let me just say it like this. Nothing beats experience. But experience doesn't necessarily eliminate new stress and new challenges. It just helps you deal with those things better and helps you overcome them instead of being overcome by them. But it doesn't feel great when you're going through them. And again, I have to go back to the times that we're living in. The stress levels are affecting everybody around us. So in a sense, you don't find yourself in as many relaxed situations on the business front to get things done as maybe we may have had in the past. Unless these are people that you're comfortable with them, they're comfortable with you, you've been doing it for a while with them. But as far as growth goes, growth can be painful. And, you know, many of the things in today's world that shouldn't be rushed are rushed. And within this new normal that we're all living in, it seems that most people seem to be on edge more often than not. It's affecting the young, it's affecting the old, and everyone in between. And then, of course, you have the personal side of your life where the relationships are. And I think a lot of the younger people, I listen to some of these younger people on YouTube, you know, they make these videos and they're talking about troubles they're having in their relationships, or they're trying to build a business or do different things. And I think a lot of the younger people have unrealistic expectations of one another. And I know even being a little older, you can have unrealistic expectations sometimes of people. People in your family, your friends, maybe even your employees. But I don't think the young people understand that yet. Maybe it takes somebody, you know, a decade older or so to remind them of that. But I come from Generation X. And so we went through my generation, which is 1965 to I think the late 70s or 1982 or something like that. Excuse me. We still had that older relationship model in place, even though it wasn't working as well as it used to, where it was a kind of a given that a couple would work together and basically have nothing, but work together and build a life together, build a family together. You know, even with that in place, you saw high divorce rates. But either way, relationships, you have to force yourself to create some boundaries in your life where your business begins and ends. And sometimes that's hard to do, and you learn actually by doing it. So you got to extend a little grace and a little forgiveness to the people you really care about, you know, and not beat them up too much if they're not meeting your expectations. And sometimes I still learn this today. I try to have meaningful conversations with family, especially, to let them know where I am, give them a chance to talk and really listen to whatever it is they have to say. Because, I mean, it's one thing to be able to pay the bills and not sweat, you know, having a car repossessed or all the other things that people, you know, be able to afford groceries and not have that as the forefront of your mind. But it's another thing to just be unhappy with all of it, even though you're making enough money, because money really doesn't make you happy. I mean, there's a lot of unhappy elements that a person can have in their life that money can remove. So, and you know, we don't have to give basic examples of that. Just think about it. I mean, if you have an old clunker and you have some money, you get rid of it and you get a new car that doesn't require you to be fixing it every 2 or 3 months, right? You live in a maybe a bad area, or you have a house that, you know, needs a new roof and you can't replace it, or whatever it happens to be, and you have a little bit of money, you can fix that problem. But, you know, after a certain point, you have a new normal. And sometimes, a lot of times, people aren't happy with the new normal, and those problems can't be fixed just by making more money. They have a void in their lives, and the void is there's nobody there to share any of this with. Now, I know some people are happy on their own. They're happy being single. I know quite a few people like this. Some of them are even older. When I'm talking about older, I'm talking about older, like late 80s, early 90s. And they live by themselves. They don't have family living with them. They have family that checks up on them, but they love the ability to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And they don't have another person there. But these same people didn't go through their whole lives that way. A lot of them are widows or widowers. And they enjoy having the freedom, but they also enjoy the experience at the time of getting married or raising children or doing all of those things. And so it seems like, at least to me, that all of these things are more stressful today than they were in the past, because the same world that affects you are affecting, you know, people that are older than you and people that are younger than you. And the reason why I'm bringing all of this in is because your personal well-being has a ripple effect on your ability to build a business, on your ability to handle clients and customers and your ability to have all of the cylinders firing, you know? And so it's all important. You can't just look at one and forget the others. There's a balance in all of it. And I'm not going to tell you that I have the exact balance mastered, but I'm aware of the need for a balance, and I think that's at least half the battle. I mean, there are times where, you know, you can be physically present in a room with family and friends, but your mind's only half there because the other part is thinking about maybe something that's work-related, a challenge that you're having, or maybe something that's not even that important. Things like this keep you from fully relaxing. Things like this keep you from fully living in the moment and enjoying the company of the people around you. So maybe some of the people around you are people that you communicate with online. That's fine too. I think it's great to meet people face to face, but talking to people on video is better than nothing. Emailing back and forth is better than nothing. Talking on the phone, all of those things. So you're aware of the challenges that we face and the time that we're in. I want to take a moment right now and segue into AI and how it can be leveraged to improve, at the very least, what you're trying to build as far as business goes. The other stuff, I was just talking about it because I want to let you know that you're not alone. You're not in a place that other people aren't at. More people than not are feeling what you're feeling, whether they're easily paying their bills with money left over or they're struggling to make ends meet. We're all feeling the effects of living in the time that we're living in. I'll just leave it at that. So working with AI and AI tools, I tried just about everything on the market. But ChatGPT ticked most of the boxes as far as my personal workflow went. When AI first came out, people were saying that this isn't good, this is going to replace a lot of jobs, put a lot of people out of business. And I thought to myself, I sort of heard this argument before in the past, because again, Generation X, I'm the last of the analog generations before digital came in. They were saying the same thing back then. I saw this opportunity right now, and I thought to myself, who knows what's going to happen 3 years down the line, but I have this in front of me right now. I see opportunity with this, and I jumped in totally enthusiastic about the topic. And if you find yourself in a place right now in your life where you're looking at it kind of like that, I would say jump in, absolutely, and don't worry about what may or may not happen 3 to 5 years down the line. Learn it. It's not going anywhere. There's no rewind. There's no going back to the world pre-AI. It's here now. How good it will be is anybody's guess. But we're living in the present. We're not living in the future yet. And so you have to make the most of what's in front of you right here, right now. So this is where, and I have to say, you really have to depart from groupthink, that type of mindset. So for example, if you see a course on a topic, it won't be long before other courses on the topic are put out there. If you see a book on the topic, the same thing. In other words, groups come together, they agree what works, what isn't, what shouldn't work, what does work, what's the best, what's the second best, what's the third best, and they more or less agree on that. Politics kind of works the same way, where the group agrees on this is how things should be done. And sometimes you just have to depart from all of the groups and learn how to do your own thinking and get strong in your own mindset and your own beliefs. Because when it comes to AI, again, people are talking about what it might do and how good it is, and it's really not that good. Why not just forget about all that? Have your own experience, right? Are you the type of person that you have to wait till there's a review of the movie to decide whether or not you want to see it? Or you believe the reviews? Do you want to see the movie yourself? You know, and be your own reviewer. And so that's what I did. I started with the free version of ChatGPT. I used Claude AI. I used Google's version, all of the others. I tried all of them. Eventually, I went up to the paid version of ChatGPT. For the nominal fee, you can use all the latest improved versions as they become available. Now, after a year of experimentation, I began to develop my own custom GPTs. So in other words, you can use the ChatGPT engine, so to speak, to create a GPT around a certain topic or subject. So for example, one of the largest law firms in the world is creating custom GPTs, and that way they can analyze the law based on different areas, like different countries, different states, different jurisdictions, and they're going to build the largest legal GPT. They already have it in the world, AI. The idea is to remove some lower level attorneys from the payroll and paralegals. So it's not that they're going to make all of these people obsolete. Yeah, there are a lot of people lost their jobs and are losing their jobs, but they still need some people there. It's like, how many people buy a newspaper these days? Not too many. But each department in that for that paper has an editor. Now, maybe one editor covers two departments. I'm not saying that. But in other words, the position isn't totally obsolete. There's just not the need for as many of them any longer. And so that's the way you have to look at the way most new technologies work. Most things won't become completely obsolete. You'll just need fewer of them. So I began to develop my custom GPT. So for example, I took everything that I've ever written on my blog, years worth of writing about marketing, audio podcasts, I can turn them into text, and then I upload everything into the knowledge base of that custom GPT. Maybe I name it Mini Me. I don't remember what I named it, but it's basically designed to be a Mini Me. It's designed to write, plan, and strategize using my personal style. And so I use it to bounce ideas off of, instead of like a sounding board, and I work with it. It's in the same style as I like to use. Now, if I wanted to, let's say, do social media like Gary Vee does, I can upload the PDFs of his content, of his books, and tell the GPT to start creating social media content using his strategy and his style. It will understand it and it will do it. Now, it has access to all this information already, but if you create a custom GPT, you can dive even deeper into it. And the commands that we give it, called prompts, when you find one that does what you want it to do, you save it in a file. That way you don't have to write it over from scratch every time. So for example, if I'm going to create a blog post, I might tell it to create an outline on a topic. And then when I look at the outline, maybe there's two main topics with two or three subtopics underneath those. I might ask it, has anything major affected this field in 2024 that a lot of people may not know about? And I may ask it that question. And when it gives me an answer, maybe it'll find something. I'll say, include that in the outline. And I'll do that two or three times until I have a very unique outline. And then I'll go back and I'll say, okay, let's begin to fill in the outline. And so I can, you know, get 90% of the article written that way and then fill in the rest myself or do whatever percentage that I want. But that's the idea of creating a prompt, asking a question, getting feedback from the AI, from ChatGPT, let's say, asking it some more questions, asking it to do a few tweaks here and there, and you have unique, valuable content. Now, in the past, I read books on copywriting. I understand all the basics of copywriting. I feel comfortable doing copywriting. I feel comfortable writing press releases. Most of the time now, I just have ChatGPT do it and then look at the final result and then make the corrections myself. Also, think about programs like Grammarly and the others that are out there today that if you're not great at spelling or punctuation, those tools automatically find where you've made the mistakes and they can just automatically restore that to, or restore, make the corrections that are needed, and so that things are done properly, that your final piece of content, you're not embarrassed because you spelled half the words wrong. So all of these things, all of these assets are available to us now that weren't available before. I can upload a contract or a proposal that I had in the past. I can ask it to improve it. I can ask it if there's any weaknesses that are there that maybe I have missed. I can create a financial planning GPT, which will calculate my taxes and look for deductions and all of that. And so as I go from quarter to quarter throughout the year, I have assistance in all of these areas, whereas before I would have had to either look up each subject individually, invested the time in learning these new things, or paying someone to do them for me. So basically what I'm saying is you can now do things to extend your abilities beyond what you were capable of doing in the past. And by doing so, you can increase your value 10 to 100 fold. So let's just talk a little bit about AI prompts for a minute here again, so you understand what I'm talking about. A prompt is a series of, let's say, commands. So for example, or questions that you may ask. Let's just stick with ChatGPT for this. Telling it what you want, asking questions, and so on. And the return information, the result you get, may give you, let's say, 75% of what you were looking for. So you add additional information. Maybe didn't understand you 100%. But you add additional information in your second, third, or fourth prompts. So in other words, every time you're communicating with it, it's like you're writing a prompt to get you a little bit further in the direction you want to go in until you get a result you're happy with. And so when you have the result you're happy with, then you can kind of take all of that conversation and basically boil it down to a simple command. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. Please include all of the links from this document as internal links. We're talking about writing a blog post right now as an example. Or please include the address of the company, and it creates the final product. Now, some people have even asked GPT to create prompts for them. And this is interesting because I did this about 6 months ago. I asked GPT to create a certain prompt. And then a day later, I asked it to create that prompt again, and it created it differently. The first day, it created the prompt exactly the way I wanted it to. Exactly the way I wanted it to look. The second day, asking it the exact same question, the exact same way, the result it gave me, I was about, if I had to grade it on a scale of, you know, 1 to 100, 100% being perfect, and the first day my result was 100%, this next time it was about 75%. I thought, you know, is AI capable of being lazy on certain days? And it was just a little experiment because I'm thinking, if everybody starts asking the same questions and gets the same information back, then the novelty of this is going to wear off pretty quickly. But the difference is that now the AI has the ability to remember previous conversations and takes those into account. So it could have just been that it assumed that I wasn't happy with the result it had given me the first time as I continued the conversation. And I don't know. I really don't know. But going forward, if there's a task that you're going to be doing regularly that takes some time, it makes sense to set up a simple system for yourself. Maybe have the simple prompts in a Word doc or a Google doc that you can cut and paste in there so that you become more efficient as you go through your day and getting certain things done, certain emails written. I wrote a letter on behalf of a business owner to, I think it was CBS News in Los Angeles, and they were going to feature the company on a news segment, and English isn't his first language, the owner of the company. And so this is about a year and a half ago. I told ChatGPT what I wanted to basically say to thank the person. I wanted to sound professional, but yet not distant, warm, but not overly personal. But I wanted to, and I mean, it hit the nail on the head beautifully. And so I was able to cut and paste that information and send it to him. And there was a great communication, a connection resulted. So things like that, at the end of the day, if I had to write something like that myself when my mind is tired, you know, having the AI there to do it for you is just a total asset. It really is. So you have AI going forward as your personal assistant in as many areas as you're willing to experiment with tasks that were formerly time-consuming and mentally draining. And as a personal brand, which is something I've talked a lot about on this podcast, you can leverage AI to increase your value while maintaining the personal touch that separates you from everyone else. One of the things that's not going to change at the end of the day is people will always do business with those they feel comfortable doing business with. And while it's true that AI can replace many jobs going forward, it's much easier to plan right now for what may be rather than just ignore it and hope something changes. For example, I can get legal advice and accounting advice from AI. I've done both. And yet, I still consult attorneys and accountants from time to time just for the peace of mind that I have a certain document written correctly. The difference is, thanks to AI, now I'm able to go in with more of an education up front than I would be able to do in the past with the topic. And so as a professional in any field, there's still going to be people that will be comfortable or won't be 100% comfortable having AI do it or just buying a template or any of those other shortcuts that are available out there. They're still going to want to talk to someone like you. Now imagine this. Imagine that you had to lose weight, you had to get in shape, there's no if about it. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. You've got to do it. You know how many diets you can find online, how many books that you can read? But how valuable would it be? I guess you could ask AI for some help, but just imagine sitting down and having a coffee or getting on a Zoom call with an expert, a real live human being, and telling them what your situation is, letting them know, oh, you know, I had this old elbow injury or knee injury that I don't want to put too much stress on my leg, and then having them put a custom plan together for you, and then maybe meet back with you in 2 weeks or whenever, maybe even a month, see how you're doing, you make some adjustments. That's something a human being can do for you. They can give you the kind of feeling, the kind of connection that you're not going to get just from a template or from AI. And it will always be that way. And so that's one of the things that you need to understand. Sure, certain things can just be done one-off. People don't care about who does it as long as it's done right. Those are things you stay away from. Those are the professions that if you're in that now, you make plans to make adjustments for the days to come, for the months to come. So as a professional in any field, you have to navigate your own situation and determine what course of action is going to make the most sense for you. Now, back in the early 90s, some people thought computers were going to replace the need for books and paper documents. Did that happen? No. Still, the threat of AI replacing or reducing a number of jobs, it isn't imaginary. I mean, robotics has already done that in the manufacturing world. It's real and it's already happening. A number of larger content creation agencies, for example, have closed their doors over the past 24 months because AI gives their clients the ability to create online content that's about 50% cheaper than any, or even more than that, than the agency can. And so this makes it impossible for the agency to stay in business and still turn a profit. And so yes, a new economy is forming all around us. And like the game of musical chairs, when the music stops, in this case, we might say every 12 months or so, we see fewer seats available and more people being pushed out of the game. And that's a reality. That's the terrain certain industries are currently dealing with. But just remember, dealing with reality doesn't mean that you have to be negative or defeatist, you know, have a defeatist attitude about your life and about business because things are going bad. We're all facing this. Being real doesn't end with the problem. It begins with the problem. It begins with the challenge. That's what being real does. But then it moves forward with the desire to test different possible solutions until it finds one that's going to work for the present time. So, you know, I put a lot of information out there. We're probably almost at 50 minutes right now. I think I'm getting close to that or just under 50 minutes. So I'm going to put the bookmarker in it there. Let me know what you thought about this episode. Let me know how you're doing out there. It would be great to hear from you. You can send me an email, jim@jimgaliano.com, if you want. If this episode's helped you, share it with a friend, share it with someone in your family. I hope it has. And what I'm going to do is I will probably have another special episode available towards the end of next month, November. And I'll update you on some more things that are happening, maybe share some more ideas with you that can hopefully help you. And I'm almost, like I said, I'm almost certain to eventually pick the podcast back up again and continue with it. I just really did need that extra time. Part of me was experimenting, thinking about experimenting with video. We'll see what happens. Either way, thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you again in the not too distant future.